In his State of the City address, Mayor Kirk Caldwell underscored his administration's priority to deal with what some call our climate crisis. He rolled out a 160-page strategy, a blueprint for the issues that we need to tackle as the king tides nibble away at our shores and meteorologists brace for the summer storms headed our way. Josh Danbro heads the city's climate change office, and he sat down with us this morning to lay out that plan.
We're really excited about sort of putting together a common and shared vision for the island. We went out and talked to every single neighborhood board. We had over 3,000 folks give their actual input on it and presented to hundreds of other groups and got their feedback as well. And we really tried to reach beyond city government to the private sector. We had a steering committee of over 20 folks that were outside of city government to really say, what does it look like to have a thriving sort of resilient future for the island, and what are the steps that we need to take, whether popular or not, to get there? Sometimes you have to take your medicine and get better for it. And so we've got these 44 actions that are spread across four different areas that really were sort of a group consensus around whether, you know, these are easy, low-hanging fruit or whether these are tougher sort of, high aims. These are the kind of things that we need to do over the next few years in order to set us up for success and be able to live and thrive on this island for decades to come.
Okay, and then this is before the city council, the administration would like them to adopt it, just to say, hey, we're all on the same page. This is our island.
Yeah, so Mayor, you know, in the State of the City, obviously this took a year and a half of work. We'd love to see it become really a vision for the city overall and for the island of Oahu overall, and not just something that we're working on in a silo. And so it would be great if city council would adopt it by resolution and move forward this vision that has been articulated from outside the city as well as inside the city.
Now, the mayor talked about a couple of things. One was a possible moratorium on seawalls. And, you know, we've heard the folks over at DLNR, you know, Sam Lemo has been, I think, raising that flag for, more than a decade, I think, just about you harden the seashore and you create more problems.
Yeah, so every time you build a seawall, you're killing a beach, and that's just the way it goes. I mean, as soon as you harden that shoreline, you're stopping the ocean from accessing the sand behind it. That, you know, the beach is now on the move. It wasn't on the move for decades. Now it is on the move, and it needs to be able to breathe and move inland and grab more sand. And so, you know, actually the seawall moratorium wasn't in the resilience strategy. It's not part of this document. But there is a recommendation. One of the 44 is we definitely have to change the way we do our setbacks on this island. We're building too close to the shore. And it's in an area that is getting increasingly hazardous for public safety and for private property. The ocean's getting higher. The surge is going further inland. The storms are getting bigger. They're coming more frequently. So there's just places that we probably shouldn't be building. And so, you know, the resilience strategy called for, we need to take a different look and make sure that we've got a modern setback policy that's more flexible and moves further back. And what Mayor, you know, took the example of the monster homes and said, you know, we saw what monster homes were doing in neighborhoods. There was an initial moratorium that was put just to stop the permitting of these, regularly in neighborhoods until we can get a better policy on the books. And that was his, vision is, you know, maybe we should follow the path of the monster home piece, put a moratorium, not put up any new seawalls that are going to kill our beaches until we have a better policy in place. And that'll take some time. So he's asking the Climate Change Commission to give a recommendation within 6 months around what should that setback ordinance look like and what should guide our future on the coastline.
And then, yeah, the setback issue, you were saying that, in some areas, it may be, 40 feet? In some areas, it may be more than that.
Yeah, well, you need something flexible. I mean, the ocean's now moving, but, you know, our shorelines are different all around the island. You can imagine if you're up on a rocky outcrop, 80 feet above the ocean, 40 feet might be enough, right? The ocean's going to, sea levels are going to rise, but the storm surge is never going to reach you up there. It's steady. It's not falling into the ocean. You know, that might be enough. But in places where you're in a low-lying area, there's beach erosion, you know, the cliffs are falling in. Those are places where you have to take a look forward rather than a look backward. You know, we've existed for decades with a 40-foot setback because the ocean wasn't on the move. Now that it's on the move, we need to see in what parts of the island is it moving fastest and make sure that our setbacks are the furthest in those areas.
Okay. And then, you know, we've just started Hurricane season, the prediction, you know, for the summer is we're going to see more erosion because of the king tides, you know, that will start this month.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, so, you know, the issue is that we used to talk about, you know, the climate crisis as something that was generations down the road. We got to do something for our grandkids. Well, the reality is everybody knows it's happening right now. We see the king tides. We see the inundation in the, you know, the parking lots in Waikiki underneath the buildings. And then the storms. I mean, we just have dodged so many bullets. We've gotten so lucky, but we're not going to be able to do that for forever with these bigger, stronger, more frequent hurricanes coming through our area of the Pacific because of the climate crisis. And so Mayor made a you know, concerted effort to schedule the state of the city, you know, right before hurricane season started, because there's a definite link between climate change and these storm seasons and our preparedness. And resilience is all about being able to survive, adapt, and thrive on this island, regardless of what shocks or stresses come our way. And a hurricane is a definite shock, and we're, you know, knocking on wood that we'll get through another season without getting brushed. We invite folks to go to resilientoahu.org, where they can take a look at the report. It's real easy access on there to page through the 44 actions that have been recommended themselves. There's no priority to them in terms of, you know, this is the first one we got to do. This is the second one. These were sourced from the community, and they really came up as equal, you know, tactics to move us forward in a bunch of different areas. There's four areas that we are focused on. One is long-term affordability. So, you know, when we think about our island, what are the threats to us as a long-term, you know, viable population? We've had population decline 2 years in a row. And so a lot of that is around the cost of living. But then when you look at Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria, they had 12% drop in population right after Hurricane Maria hit. So we see, you know, the climate crisis and long-term affordability as being the twin threats to us being able to you know, live and thrive on this island along with our keiki. So we've got long-term affordability, being prepared for natural disaster, addressing the climate crisis and being more climate resilient, and then making sure that our communities are tight-knit and a lot of social cohesion. That's our number one tool as an island community to be able to stand back up after something happens. And so in those four areas, there's a ton of different things that we can do. There's some that you may will know about. One of the top recommendations was making sure vacation rentals are addressed. It's taking up the housing stock for our local folks, and it's actually creating some resilience issues, because if we do get hit by a natural disaster, suddenly we have all these folks in our neighborhoods that don't have resources, they don't have connections. We're going to end up taking care of them. It's going to be a burden for us. There's things like electric vehicle infrastructure for charging. We've got to get more infrastructure out there so that we can get into hybrids and EVs. We've historically been doing pretty well on reducing our carbon pollution on the electrical grid. We've been making progress, slow but steady progress there, but our transportation emissions are going up. And so we got to make sure that everyone who wants to can afford to get into an electric vehicle or a hybrid, and that we have the infrastructure to allow them to do that.
I know we have an electric car, but there's always a concern like, okay, you go to the North Shore, are you going to find a place to charge up to get back home?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, it's a better technology. As you know, you drive one. It's a great driving experience. Tons of torque, super fast, quiet. It's wonderful. It actually costs less. Once you have the car, the operations and maintenance is, you know, 50 to 75% the cost. So it's cheaper to be in one. And that's what we're talking about, is the solutions to the climate crisis can also be solutions to long-term affordability. We can actually live on this island for less money out of pocket if we do some of these things, just tear the Band-Aid off, change over to 100% renewable energy economy, and do some of these things that are long-term in the benefit of customers and residents here on island. But we got to make the switch. And in order to do that, we got to put some upfront investment to build the infrastructure to allow people to feel comfortable about going all the way North Shore. Now the new cars, so you probably have one old like me, right? 2011. And yeah, it, you know, it takes a charge to get back into town sometimes. But now the newer ones, they've got, you can go all the way around the island twice and you're good to go.
Okay. But not everybody's that fortunate, right? Okay. And so on Wednesday, the city council takes up a bill to set up a fund to deal with, you know, climate change and resiliency.
Yeah, so we, you know, welcome the support from council and the attention on the issue. I mean, our office is brand – we still consider it pretty new. I mean, I've got kids. A two-year-old is still – you're taking – you know, you're still definitely learning, right? And that's our office. I mean, we're 2 years old. The voters created us in 2016 at the election there. And so we've really been spending all of our time trying to get the capacity built at the office to really address some of these issues, put out the resilience strategy, sort of focus on the policy changes that need to happen. This is another piece of that. The council has put forward a bill to create a fund that would be, you know, help drive some of the changes that the Office of Climate Change, Sustainability, and Resiliency are identifying as needs to make us more safe and secure on the island going forward. And we welcome the opportunity to have it.
Okay. And there are also still a couple of pieces in the works strengthening our building codes, the energy code, the electrical code.
Yeah.
Some of that's in the works.
Yeah. So it's interesting because, you know, some folks don't make the connection normally. You know, I say we work on climate change and sustainability and that codes, building codes is our number one priority. And well, why is that? And people usually think recycling or, you know, not using plastic water bottles or whatever. Those things are important. But codes are really the fundamental rules by which we build our infrastructure on island. And if we're going to build for the future, we need to change the rules by which we build. So, you know, the electricity code already went over from the administration to update the electric code so that we can do photovoltaic panels and energy storage, battery storage in a more streamlined manner, because that's an increasingly an option for a lot of local homeowners that want to reduce their energy bill. The next one that's been sent over has yet to be scheduled. We're hoping that council moves quickly on this, is the energy code update. And that really focuses in on a few things, making our buildings more efficient so that it costs 30 to 50% less for utilities to live in those homes for our local residents. But we've also got some other things in there that will help even more. Making sure that we're heating our water with renewable energy, whether it's solar or otherwise, and making sure that our new buildings and parking lots have that electric vehicle readiness. Not necessarily a charger, but at least the wire is there to enough of the stalls to make a difference so that when electric vehicles become cheaper than gas cars, which is projected to be around 2023, that we're building homes and parking lots and structures now that are going to allow us to have the most affordable option for transportation, and we're not locked into an old dinosaur technology.
Right, and you can charge your car right there at home.
Yeah, the time we want to charge cars is at high noon, because that's when all the solar power is out. We've got all these panels you know, deployed more and more across the island. When we have a ton of energy available between 10 and 2 p.m., that's the time we want to be charging cars, and so and take up that extra capacity. It's going to be dirt cheap energy. So we're going to be able to fill our cars for next to nothing. And you know, really, the places where that happens is at work, because you're parked at work, or retail, because you're, you know, out shopping and being busy. And so you want that ability to charge cars in those parking lots, in those commercial and retail spaces, where people are between 10 and 2.
Okay. All right. So it's giving people something to think about as we go through the day and how we can help protect ourselves and become more resilient all around.
Yeah, this is all about a bright future. I mean, we really, you know, there's certain things we have to do. We always say the irony is if you want to keep the things you love about Hawaii, that, you know, the reason we're all here is because of the wonderful things about Hawaii, the beaches, the aloha spirit, all the stuff that keeps us connected.
Clean air, clean water.
All of those things are at risk. And all of those things are going to take change in order to keep them the way they are. It takes new policies. It takes new projects. And so we just, you know, we're advocating along with, you know, hundreds and thousands of other people that put this together. Let's do the change now so that we can be here forever and thriving on the best place on earth to live.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Hey, pleasure coming in. Thank you.
That was Josh Dambro, Executive Director of the city's Climate Change, Sustainability, and Resiliency Office.